Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, the Patrick and Jeremy Show, Part 2. It is on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is the rodeo of free speech where you can ride on the broncos and get thrown off and thrown in prison for hate crime. That's what you can do. But you're going to need money for a lawyer, and so donate to RBN. There's a connection there. You'll have to figure it out for yourself. But trust me on this one. Just donate to RBN. You go to republicbroadcasting.org. They will tell you how you can donate, but also Jeremy can tell you how to donate.
You can call that in to 1-800-724-2719-3. With your credit or debit card number, and you can mail it in with that boomer checkbook to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Free speech ain't free.
Right. And you can even send well-concealed cash if you are one of those people who would prefer to maintain your anonymity. All right. This is part two. We had a certain amount of prep for last night, and some of it we got to, some of it we didn't. We talked about a lot of other things. We talked about Andrew Anglin. We talked about Nick Fuentes. We talked about earlobes. We just talked about stuff. But what did we have left over that we didn't get to?
Is it really all about the Benjamins, this COVID-19 thing?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, there are there's a wealth transfer that we can point to,
mm-hmm.
on up to BlackRock and whatnot. There are vaccine companies that are benefiting from this, but the vaccines are free to people, to That's individual right. people.
Mm-hmm.
Governments are paying for the vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
But when that comes to hospitals, I mean, individual people can go to hospitals or even Walmart and get a vaccine, and it's free.
It's free. So,
No, I'm saying, who's paying for the vaccine?
Well, I mean, ultimately, this is being paid for with printed money, like everything else. I mean, it's funny if you watched. If you've been following the federal budget for the past 40-something years, it started going into, even as late as 1970-something, you had some surplus years. And did we have, I think we might have even had a couple of surplus years in President Clinton's last administration, just because of the massive windfall from the dot-com boom. And they hadn't figured out how to justify outrageous defense spending yet, because there were no countries out there who were scary enough to be defended against. But there had been for decades at least some attempt to have most spending come from taxes, but that's just by the wayside. And everybody is sitting around waiting for the other shoe to drop, expecting that shoe drop to sound like hyperinflation. Might sound like something completely different, like a massive transfer of wealth. But yeah, the thing is, so Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson are getting a lot of money out of this deal. But from a policymaker point of view, are those three companies' profits? Is that so important? Is that why you're doing this? If you're a president, if you're a congressperson, if you're a governor, are those three companies' profit lines that important to you, that that's what this is all about? Or is there something else involved?
Well, I think there's power. There's power. And there's this push to form a global governance I've got an article here that I've sent you, cdc.gov, vaccines and immunizations, facts about the federal retail pharmacy program. It reads, the federal retail pharmacy program for COVID-19 vaccination is a collaboration between the federal government, pharmacy partners, and states and territories to increase access to COVID-19 vaccination across the United States. This involves partnerships with 21 national pharmacy partners and independent pharmacy networks representing over 40,000 retail and long-term care pharmacy locations nationwide. It's not just about the money. If the government is paying, so the COVID-19 vaccines are free. That's one thing that we need to understand, is that you as an individual citizen of America can go to get a free vaccine anytime, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying for that? The government is buying that, and they're paying hospitals to put the vaccines out. So, I mean, if it was just about the money, I mean, the hospitals would take the money for the vaccines, and they wouldn't care how many people were vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would not be a thing. But yet there's this push. There's this push to get vaccinated. People can lose their jobs. So there's a push on the level of global corporations to get people vaccinated. And it can't be about the money, because these corporations are losing a lot of workers. Workers are about to the tune of 40 to 50% refusing to be vaccinated. And so it can't be just about the money. It has to be about the power.
Mm.
And so that's what I want to bring out. It's not just about the Benjamins. It's not just about the money. There's a power play here. And so if a hospital has been fully compensated, paid by the government for these vaccines, what other, which is there? What other leverage is there against these hospitals to get people vaccinated other than the money? It can't just be about that, because they've already been paid.
Mm-hmm. Well, for
go ahead.
I was just going to say, for policymakers, for governments, there's enormous power potential. Now, in the United States, you can say whatever you want about the founding fathers, but they wrote a constitution that had things like checks and balances. It had checks on power, which haven't always been observed, but they were part of it. And compared to other contemporary countries, there were checks on the power of government. But putting that aside, I want to do kind of a thought experiment. How much power is there to be had? You know, because you can look around, you can look at money, and you can count money, right? You can count a lot of stuff. Is there more power to be had now than before? And think about, I've been to an Australian Aboriginal village, right? And if you think about how the Aborigines lived until they met the Europeans, they were Stone Age, but not just Stone Age. They weren't even Neolithic. They were like pre-Ice Age Stone Age. They were very primitive. And how much power could any Aborigine have, right? They didn't even have slavery in amongst Aborigines, as far as I know. I don't see how you could, because the person could just wander off into the outback. How are you going to keep somebody, you can't keep them in chains because you don't have metal technology. What are you going to do? The only thing you can do is threaten violence. But, you know, if you're in the outback, somebody can just wander off and they can catch their own, wallaby or whatever, and just wander off. So how much power can you have in that society? You look at, let's just say, the Greeks from 3,000 years ago or whatever, maybe before Athens, but how much power can they have? I mean, they can, maybe they can force people to grow grain or build some things, and you know, there's a certain amount they can extract, but you know, they can maybe enslave people. But really, there's so much power now that could be had, because you can have total surveillance over people. You could never, like my Aunt Helen thought that she was being spied on through electrical sockets back in the 60s, which you couldn't do. You can do that now. You can spy on everybody. In fact, people are more than willing to cooperate in their own espionage and espionage against them. That's what Facebook is all about, getting people to make it fun for people to spy on themselves and then supply the powers that be with information about everything in their life. But more than that, you know, now, like, they've been working on various gene therapies for things. Lou Gehrig's disease. Oh, they're developing gene therapies for it, which can be a good thing. But if you can change, you know, people's neurons through and cure Lou Gehrig's disease with gene therapies, well, what else can you do? You can, you know, change their attitudes. There's research into drugs that would make people less racist. Well, if you can get with mRNA, if you can hijack your cells' mechanisms to manufacture spike proteins or to manufacture this or that, why not get get the cells to manufacture, you know, dopamine or other types of things to make you feel certain ways, to make you less ethnocentric and more acceptance of whatever, whether it's immigrants or, you know, there's so much power to be had right now. And if you say this is about the power, there's an awful lot of power to be had, that's for sure. There's more power to be lusted after than you can shake a stick at.
Well, yeah, I think it is about the global governance rather than just the money, even though the money is a mover and shaker in this whole thing. The power is the bottom line. And so what kind of power can they have over the global populace and getting them to conform? You know, getting them to acquiesce to a small amount of people at the very top that can get them to do anything that they want. I think that's what the name of the game is here. And so to the extent that it is about the Benjamins, I mean, sure, there's a wealth transfer that we witnessed from the middle class, you know, to the upper 2-3% of billionaires. We did witness that. But really, it's about the power. It's about the power to control the populace and to bring them into some sort of global governance where a very few elite are at the top. And the majority of people who work and produce are being brought down into the same level. In other words, an elimination of the middle class. I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I guess the middle class, and we always think of the middle class as being something, you know, relatively recent, but I'm not sure, you know, maybe you've had middle classes in other societies and other centuries, but you know, the America that we grew up in was a middle class country, and there are a lot of other middle class countries around in, you know, Europe and Japan, and countries as they get wealthier, a country like South Korea develops a middle class. And I don't know, in the United States, the middle class, at least nominally, produced and controlled the vast bulk of the wealth, or at least produced it and owned it. Well, control is a different thing, because they, you know, what do you do with your wealth? Well, some of it gets put into accounts that are then controlled by bankers and financial people. But where are we going with this? There have been people throughout history who have dreamed of conquering the whole world, right? And it has never been possible, but we've never had a world this integrated. Even the difference between now and our childhoods is just immense in terms of the globalization of the economy, of other things, communications, being able to communicate. I mean, you think back 200 years ago, and if something happened in Europe, people didn't find out about it in America until somebody sailed across in a wind-powered vessel and delivered the message. And things go a lot faster now, now. And then even when I was traveling around in the 80s, I was basically incommunicado. The only way I communicated with people was writing things on pieces of paper, and then that piece of paper would have to be sent. There was telephone communication, but it was prohibitively expensive. Things have changed so fast, and the rate of change is accelerating, and we're at this critical juncture in the history of civilization, and we really can't drop the ball, because they're coming down like never before, and I think it would be a lot harder to free ourselves once we're enslaved than to defend ourselves from being enslaved in the first place.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that seems to be the whole name of the game here is enslavement. Enslavement of the global populace. To get them to agree to some sort of showing a vaccine passport, showing a whatever, in order to participate in society. That seems to be where we're at.
Yeah, it's sad when Alex Jones, like his show Prison Planet, the title Prison Planet, when that becomes actually like a reality, and that's kind of where we're going. And even InfoWars, we are in InfoWars. Isn't that sad?
Well, could there be other agendas here? You know, we've mentioned on this show before mass sterilization. I've mentioned it. Mm-hmm. There is this whole thing of the coronavirus dovetailing with climate change and the idea that there's too many people on the globe. So these vaccines that they're introducing, to what extent is there dovetailing with, you know, the mass sterilization, the reducing of the global populace, as we read in agendas 2021 and 2030. And you can say it's conspiracy, whatever you want to say, but it's right there. It's written out. I mean, these people have written this out and planned this. Mm. So if indeed the vaccines are to sterilize the populace, you know, to what extent is that playing into this narrative of there's too many people on the planet and we have to eliminate them? The best way to do that, I would think, would be through sterilization vaccines over the next 10 years.
Yeah. Well, okay, we're coming up on the break, but this is a very important thing for us to discuss, so we'll be right back.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. When every move he makes, another chance it takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number and taken away your name.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
We are right back, and on the part one of the Jeremy and Patrick show on In Plain Sight last night, we talked somewhat about Andrew Anglin. I mentioned that I haven't talked to him for about 4 years, but as some people know, I had a very fun interview with him in the, I guess, January 2017, and he had written an article on, it was entitled something like, When Will the United Nations Act to Cull the Homo erectus Population in Africa in Order to Save the African Elephant. And, you know, he had written an article about different ways to reduce the population in Africa. And it was very outrageous and it was hilarious. It was very funny. But there was also a serious aspect to it, because obviously you have massive population growth in Africa, and he was talking about, well, you could have killer robots, but the problem is the robots, like artificial intelligence, has trouble telling the difference between Negroes and gorillas, so it feels sorry for the gorillas. He was talking about, well, you could just cut off trade and they would revert to cannibalism and they'd eat each other, but that would be kind of sad. And then I think at one point he said, oh, I forgot, you could like manufacture a virus that would take out the population, or just sterilize them or something. And it was like almost an afterthought. But as you know, Jeremy, you and I come from very different backgrounds, and And it, not that this is even necessarily reflective of my background, but I remember as a kid thinking, because my dad was alarmed at overpopulation, and he took me to Washington once, and we went to the Smithsonian, and there was this exhibit where they had a rope hanging from the ceiling, and the rope it was hanging from the ceiling, and it was attached to something, so it formed a curve, and a hanging rope will naturally form a parabola, and I think it's a parabola, and it was showing this parabolic or you know, the geometric population growth that minister back in the 1700s, Malthus, had warned about. And it was very alarming to me. And I started thinking, well, you know, most people on Earth probably aren't very productive. And honestly, even the ones who are productive, where's their production going to? It's going to support the non-productive people. And so you could eliminate probably 90% of the people on Earth and still maintain civilization if you did it the right way. But honestly, it's not that I ever thought that should be done. It was just kind of a hypothetical. And if it's the type of thing that, to the extent it's desirable, it's not something I want to see in my lifetime. It's the type of thing that, well, maybe you know, someday in future generations, they'll have this worked out, and you know, they can get back to a nice balance where you don't have overpopulation, but you still have civilization. But apparently, maybe Bill Gates was reading my mind telepathically from somewhere, and except that he missed the part about you know, it should happen. This could be something hundreds of years in the future. It's like a long term thing, and it shouldn't, you know. It seems okay. Long story short, it seems like they're working on that right now, and they want to see it in our lifetimes. Sorry to be so long winded.
Well, no problem. I mean, if you know, if we follow the Bible, and we did not do this whole globalization thing, and we left third world populations to their own demise, through, you know, the population wouldn't be that big of a deal. Third worlders in Africa, for instance, if left to their own demise, I mean, you know, they would have a their deaths at birth would take care of that problem. But we've intervened and introduced medicines and foods and all that. So now that we've done that, we've introduced this whole new problem of in the global population of what about the third world? You know, how has our intervention in the last 100 years in the third world, specifically Africa, how has that affected world populations? I've got an article pulled up here, Mass COVID Vaccination Means Mass Sterilization, published on August 30th, 2021. And this is from Principia Scientific International. Interestingly enough, there's two menorahs on the website. But article reads, numerous doctors have recently cautioned the public.
I think you're going to have to get, if you're going to read from the article, we'll have to get to that on the other side of the break.
Let's do that.
Okay, we'll be right back.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, Jeremy, so we're back, and you were about to read from an article?
Yeah, mass COVID vaccination means mass sterilization. Published on August 30th, 2021 from Principia Scientific International with two menorahs on the website. Interesting. Numerous doctors have recently cautioned the public on two counts related to the sterilizing of humanity, a concept of difficult to grasp for those who have not yet looked into the stark fact, non-conspiracy theory of depopulation agenda, aka population control history. This is littered in a number of documents, agreements, and strategies published by the United Nations, the World Health Organization, Club of Rome, and related entities, and embodied over the past 7 decades, currently in the playout of global vaccine operations and plans, pandemics, preparedness platforms, and international health agreements. I guess what the article is referring to is the sterilization of the third world. And I guess the gist of the article is that the It says here, the existing experimental COVID-19 shots have been linked to deaths among young people, and some parents have now gone public to warn others in India, stating they did not get the full information they needed to make a decision to allow their children to get one of these shots.
You know, it's interesting about this with India, because in around, 1975 or so, in the mid-1970s, the Indian government under Indira Gandhi had a program of sterilizing men, of doing vasectomies on men without informing them what they were doing. They would lure men in with transistor radios and things like that, little trinkets. Well, you call it a trinket, but at the time, a transistor radio was probably pretty hard to come by in India. Give them a transistor radio if you do this procedure, and they do vasectomies on the men, and the men didn't know what they were getting into, and the next thing they find out, they can't have babies anymore. The government of India thought they had overpopulation, of course, I would agree. But that was a very draconian thing to do, and it led to Indira Gandhi being pushed, losing power. She eventually came back, but then she got shot. She was assassinated. So it was it's happened in India before. And, you know, you're talking about the push to sterilize the third world, but of course, aren't we also being aimed at?
Well, yeah, I mean, third world immigration into the West, I mean, that's definitely a means of eliminating the white race. And so the overall point that I wanted to bring up from this article is that the COVID-19 vaccines are a means of sterilization. Is that the global elites want to sterilize at least 3/4 of the world population.
So I don't know if the COVID-19 vaccinations will be effective in sterilizing people. Like right now, it's hard to know because they've only been doing this for about 9 months, and it's just hard to know. But what I feel is very likely, that I'm pretty confident of, is if they get a mandate regime going where from now on people are going to have to get their vaccinations in order to participate in society or avoid all these massive sanctions. Once they get that in place, then they can do anything they want, and I do think they want to sterilize people. I mean, this was, but of course, you know, the thing is with white people, honestly, our birth rates are so low. And the same with, you know, most white people in Europe, same with a lot of East Asians, Singapore, Japan, South Korea, China, they've got very low birth rates. So I don't know why they really need to sterilize us, although I think they probably still want to, just to accelerate the process. But, you know, that was what we were talking about with Andrew Anglin. Was this because the only place, where you have the highest birth rate is Africa, the Muslim world to an extent. But the thing is, everywhere else in the world, the birth rates have really come down. And so in East Asia and white countries, it's below replacement level. But even in Latin America, even in India, Southeast Asia, the birth rates have come down quite a lot. And it's just Africa, which is really the outlier for whatever reason. And these Africans are being let into European countries and into America and even into Australia. And what's the purpose? What do they bring other than like a lot of testosterone and, you know, a massive sex drive? And inability to control impulses and high time preference.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you think the elite's agenda would be to also lower the birth rates of these Africans coming in? I mean, that they certainly couldn't want that.
Well, okay, I don't know. I mean, this is, here we're getting like, this is not the type of stuff that I would want Nick Fuentes to be talking to large anti-COVID vaccine mandate rallies that he's having, right? I want him to stick to the strategy. But here, this is a show where we talk about all sorts of things, all sorts of ideas. And, you know, Africa is being massively overpopulated, and that's causing all sorts of environmental destruction, and it's all, there will all be, always be war, and probably, and wars can interfere, I guess they can interfere with the extraction of resources or whatnot. But the blacks, whether they're Africans, whether they're Haitians, coming into here, what's really their purpose? I mean, aren't they being brought over here to have sex with white women? And I'm being very blunt, but isn't that what they're being brought here for? One more means of depriving white men of the ability to reproduce. And so if white men and white women aren't reproducing together, then you don't get white children. That's the only way you get white children. Am I the one being conspiratorial now?
Well, no, I mean, is there a movement of the global elites to depopulate these brown people? That's the question.
This is what I would guess, okay, because we're on this subject. What I would guess is that's on hold. That yes, there is, but not yet. That if they had a plan, we're going to be talking about plans. If they had a plan, phase one of the plan is neutralizing white people. And when I say they, I mean it's a Jewish-dominated elite, like I'm always talking about. White people are a big problem. But white people are, you know, they're well, if that's a plan, they're well into it with white people. Then the next difficult group are the Orientals. And, you know, China in particular. And so there's this big push against China. But, you know, they're having some success in Japan and Korea with non-Oriental immigration into those countries. And, you know, they are where a lot of European countries were 40 years ago. And 40 years really isn't that long of a time. I would think if we're going on this trajectory, that once they've eliminated white people and Orientals, and actually this is where I think the Chinese would probably hold the line. But if they were to eliminate white people and Orientals as viable threats, then they would go Gaza on the brown people. But here's the thing: like on the one hand, if I'm going back into like 10-year-old Patrick after having gone to the Smithsonian and thinking those thoughts, like depopulation of the world, I wouldn't have wanted it in my lifetime, but I can understand why it would be desirable if you could maintain civilization. But the plan that we're talking about, if that's the plan, I don't see how you really maintain a civilization. You just go into a World War III Mad Max end of civilization, the way they're doing it. And I think it's because they're paranoid and not as smart as 10-year-old Patrick.
Well, I mean, the global elite has a lot of power. But just because they have a lot of power, it doesn't mean they have the intellect to implement that power and maintain it.
They have a lot of psychological problems. I think they have a lot of psychological problems. The direction they're pulling us in, regardless of what the plans, what the motives are, just objectively speaking, the direction that the world is being pulled in is one that is, shall I say, not sustainable. It's one that's headed for World War III, where you have populations completely destabilized, where you have instability, massive political instability in the most nuclear-armed country, in the most armed country in the history of civilization, to the point where now you have about half the people just giving up on the idea of America and saying, let's have a divorce. which how often, I mean, the Soviet Union was pretty lucky with the way its divorce went, and its divorce led to massive starvation and a fair amount of violent strife. And yet they were lucky. Would we even be that lucky?
Well, yeah, with the American empire, you have an inheritance of power. People running this empire now are very incompetent, and they've inherited a lot of power. And, that could lead to the problems that you're mentioning right now. Inheriting a lot of power and not knowing what to do with it. All right.
I mean, the idea of the United States breaking up is kind of attractive for a variety of reasons. But if you're going to talk about really practical issues, think how many people live off Social Security, for instance. How's that going to work? How are the assets going to be divided up? How are the military assets going to be divided up? There are assets that are, there's some things that are just tied to the land, right? I mean, the farmland in Iowa is going to stay in Iowa. You can't move it. But there's a lot of things that can be moved. A lot of military assets can be moved. And then there's a lot of things that are intangible, like financial assets. And how's that going to be distributed? Isn't that the type of thing that countries fight over?
Yeah. Yeah, very much it is.
You've had, I guess, like Slovakia and the Czech Republic. When Czechoslovakia broke up, it went pretty well. So you do have some examples. Yugoslavia didn't go well at all, and you had some real big fighting there, and there's still a lot of strife. And it's just hard to see how it could go well. Would we maintain the current state boundaries? And would people in Springfield, Illinois, be happy being stuck with a hyper anti-white, rump America that is East Coast, West Coast, and Illinois? Because of Chicago, would the people in Peoria, would it play in Peoria that they would have to be part of a liberal anti-white America just because Chicago is in the state boundaries? Or would they want to join with Indiana and Iowa and Wisconsin, the other places around them, and be with I saw a shirt once. I guess Benjamin Fulford had a T-shirt, and it said it had a picture of North America, and it had Canada, but it also had the East and West Coast of America being annexed to Canada, and that was called the United States of Canada. And everywhere in between the West and East Coast was called Jesus Land. And wouldn't Peoria want to be in Jesus Land rather than the United States of Canada? And why should they be stuck in the United States of Canada just because of Chicago? So then do you start dividing up states? Does it go by county? How do you do it?
Well, I mean, what we're alluding to is the, American states breaking away from the federal government because of its illegitimacy and because of its virus regime controls. So, I think we could very well see this, the breakup of America. And is it a good thing? I think in the long run, yes. In the short run, it's going to be a bitch.
The breakup of the Soviet Union, was it a good thing in the long run? It's always hard to say. There were demographic issues that certain writers were already pointing to in the late 70s because the Muslims were reproducing faster than the Slavs. But the breakup of the Soviet Union left, the Soviet Union at the time it broke up was about, 55% Russian and 45% non-Russian. And the rump Russia was about 75% Russian and only 25% minority. So in certain ways, maybe it bought them some time. But, you know, it produced other problems. In the United States, is, you know, it's a question so much whether it's desirable or not, or whether it's inevitable or not.
Well, I mean, it is what it is, and we are forming a parallel society here of the vaxxed and the non-vaxxed.
The pure plus.
Force, yeah, it's been forced on us. We're not even pushing this. It's being forced on us. So, I mean, interesting to see how that plays out.
All right.
In the U.S.
Well, we're at the last break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Welcome back. I think this is, of all the shows on RBN, part two of the Jeremy and Patrick show is the most late nighty of any daytime show. And I wonder
that. Talking about the breakup of America and the how it's going to come down to the vaxxed, the non-vaxxed. Wow. I mean, almost a parallel society. So, you know, we were just discussing that states are breaking away from the federal government. and doing their own thing and declaring sort of an autocracy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So how does this play out with the demise of the American Empire? That's the question.
How does it play out? And I remember in my graduate school or in my graduate assistant teaching a class in international relations and looking at like imperial overreach, and Rome got overstretched, and you know, what are the types of things that can happen? And one of the types of things that can happen when you've got an empire that's old and overstretched is a bunch of wars. And you know, I don't know, here's one last thing, and we only have a few minutes. Maybe your generation, certainly my generation, we grew up thinking that, you know, America was the greatest country ever. And even me, like even somebody who thought President Johnson was I couldn't understand why he thought war was good when even a little kid like me understood it was bad. But even that notwithstanding, it was like, how could anybody live in a country that's not America? Because America is just so great. And yet now people are willing to give up on the idea of America. But still, even as they're giving up on the idea of America, there's still this tendency to think from the point of view of the American state. And all of this hand-wringing over the botched Afghan withdrawal, that's not looking at things from the point of view of the population. That's looking at things from the point of view of the state. And I don't know if it's a transformation that people would have to make. And I think we will be resented because we're going to be at the heart of that transformation. But if people don't start thinking from the point of view of the interests of the people and continue to think from the point of view of the interests of the state, we will not survive.
We will not.
Okay. Well, all right. We have a minute left. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, I think it's very well said. The demise of America, the breaking apart.
Breaking up is hard to do.
It's inevitable.
Okay, well, with that, thank you very much for joining me today, Jeremy.
Well, thank you, Patrick, and you guys stay classy.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
What's breaking up is hard to do. Remember when you held me tight and you kissed me all through the night. Think of all that we've been through, and breaking up is hard to do. They say that breaking up is hard to do. Now I know that.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.